attention to a sign. Every decimal numbered shelf to every decimal numbered spine. I'm alive,
good morning, and I am a librarian. My name is Brooke Schaefer. I'm your host this morning for the Library Show here at Raven Radio. And today is Easter Sunday, March 27th, and I'm joined in the studio by my guest, who I'm delighted to have here today, Shannon Hoagland. She's just finishing setting up, and I think she's all plugged in now. Well, Shannon, I am kind of thinking as a dual correspondent, kind of our current book correspondent for the Library Show, but maybe even more so our audiobook correspondent. So she was actually setting up her device to see if we can maybe listen to some of the audiobooks that she has been listening to lately, have them play for you all this morning. So we're going to talk a lot about audiobooks today, and I think we kind of want to begin with talking about why people actually might listen to audiobooks. I am an audiobook user myself, and I began listening to audiobooks one winter years ago when I took up knitting, and I wanted to have something to do while I was learning to knit. I'm also I really detest washing dishes, and I discovered through knitting that listening to these audiobooks was such a great pleasure and a wonderful way to get a lot more reading done in my life, which I always struggle with. And so I then began to use audiobooks for not just knitting, but for doing chores around the house, for washing dishes, that kind of thing. So that was kind of my entrance into audiobooks. I don't know, Shannon, if you can hear over there.
I can't hear through the earphones, but I think maybe just the earphones are turned down, or I don't know. It's okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
We're gonna we're just gonna forge ahead.
That means I can sing and I won't bother myself. yes. How did I get into audiobooks? Yes. I think it was, you know, I just saw them at the library, and I wanted to listen to Harry Potter more than once. And but it's like you realize really soon the advantage of it. I think some of the disadvantages were apparent to me before the advantages. So it took a couple tries before I got into it.
Okay, so what are the disadvantages in your mind, or what were
the disadvantages? Are there certain activities you cannot do while you are listening to books?
Okay,
and those are, it's always best to be multitasking when you are. If you are, I don't find it very helpful to work out.
Oh yeah.
While I'm listening to books, my mind totally wanders on what I'm supposed to be doing at work. And
you mean like if you're
if I'm going for a walk, I can't listen to books. Okay. I have to listen to like The Moth, something that's like super engaging, and or music.
Right.
I just find I just forget what I was listening to, and then you have to go back and find the last point you remembered. So that would probably be the main obstacle. And then the other thing is, if you fall asleep while you're listening to an audiobook, it's really hard to find your place. And then there are some obvious ones. If you are listening to books on CDs, you have to have a CD player.
Right.
The downloading, you cannot download CDs. It just takes up too much room on your computer and your players. And the other thing is, the library has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful collection of audio online, the Alaska Digital Library. Not everything you want to listen to is available online. So, but you can turn that into an advantage, because you start reading stuff you'd never think of reading. You just go to the shelf, you go look at the CDs, you go on to overdrive.com, and you start reading stuff you'd never read. And I think that was kind of the focus of the show today. Of course, I'm always going to pick up Harry Potter, because as far as readers go, there's no one better than Jim Dale. He is absolutely the best audiobook reader, and I think he's actually won a Grammy for his Harry Potter series.
I think that's a key thing right there as a listener, like who reads it. You start finding, you've done more than me, so you have like names of people that you look for potentially, but finding the right reader is key to whether or not I'll continue with the book.
Absolutely. And the problem is, if you end up investing time and money, if you buy an audiobook and you start listening, and it's horrible. You have no way to get out of it. It's awful. It's just, you're trapped.
So the library is a good place to start, and maybe you can find some people that you like for free that way.
Yes. I mean, the library just got a brand new collection of Jane Austen. I mean, I think I was the first person to check out one of these books, and I've gotten a couple more, Sense and Sensibility. And the readers are outstanding. I think the best reader for Jane Austen, I hate to say it, is like elderly women, elderly English women. They just, I think they have the right serious approach to it. You know, they're not cheeky, because I've gotten some other books that are kind of Jane Austen related, and you have like these young cheeky women. You're just like, oh, get out of here.
Well, maybe. They also have such a distinct style. Actually, this is a book, Pride and Prejudice is a book that my husband read aloud to me, and I remember him kind of complaining that it was difficult to find the way to read it because the sentences were so meandering or so different than how we're used to things being written now. So I imagine a big part of the right reader is someone who obviously has gotten intimate with the writing and has found the way to phrase it.
And I think when Jane Austen wrote her books, she didn't intend on them to be read aloud in a parlor or anything like that. The books were kind of passed around among friends, you know, that she had one copy, you know, in her hand scrawl, and people just kind of, they read them more than once, just like we do, but it wasn't like, oh, we sat around and we chuckled away at Jane Austen, she's so clever. It's more like, you know, you just go home and you read novels like people read novels in those days, like television.
Right.
Entertaining, something to be entertained by.
So,
oh, and I forgot this other thing. I am like between glasses prescriptions right now, and I am finding it very hard to read. And so unless I have, like, I have an eye appointment like in 2 weeks.
Right.
And so I just haven't felt like holding books, trying to read books. Everything's like the lights. You know, I feel like I need the big magnifier glass, the joke glasses, ones that make your eyes huge in order to see because I'm getting older. And, you know, you go to the backdoor cafe and the light, it's super dim. You can't really read there. So I think it was frustration with that and just kind of diving back into literature again. And also taking on some material I would never take on if I were sitting. I wouldn't have the patience to sit and read a giant book. So that's what I found. I mean, the biggest advantage is I'm reading things I would never read, and I'm really enjoying them.
I think that I was wondering, I find that I read things that maybe if I were reading them on paper, I might, it's like dense or difficult. It might make me a little sleepy or like I'd have trouble concentrating. But if I listen to it, because I can multitask, I can stick with it. So that's been for me, like I do the same thing where I read things that I know I want to read, but are more of a struggle for me to sit down and read.
And I, let's face it, retention is a problem either way. Mm-hmm. You're reading a 500-page book. How much of that are you going to remember, or what are you going to take away from it? It's like not the little details, but just kind of the overall themes of the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I think you have a mighty good retention.
I think I have a really, really bad retention. That's why, like, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm not retaining either, so let's just go with one that's...
Read as much as I can.
Exactly. Listen to all these audiobooks. Right. Yes.
So what are you listening to now or
Well, yeah, right now I'm almost to the end of Bonnie Sue Hitchcock's novel, a young adult novel called The Smell of Other People's Houses. It just came out. It debuted in Sitka, which is kind of exciting. She had a big book reveal party at the Old Harbor Books. And I love young adult books. I don't read them a lot, but when I find them, I just rip right through them. They're always shorter. And
yeah. And this one you really...
This one, as soon as I started reading, I was hooked. Yeah. I just, audiobook-wise, they have four really good actors, really good readers with four distinct voices. The story takes place in the early 70s. And mostly in Fairbanks, but there's quite a bit of Southeast, and there's quite a bit of Sitka in there. Bonnie Sue Hitchcock kind of comes and goes from Sitka. She loves Sitka. She's got family up north. She's got family in Sitka, of course. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the delights of the book, as you recognize, you know, she's got stories about being on the ferry. She's got stories about the police blotter. You know, she's got stories about local characters. She's got stories about fishing. That's kind of the Southeast component. The four characters are all teenagers, and they're all on very, very different paths. Not all of them have it easy. In fact, none of them have it easy. And she is able to find a unique voice for each of the kids. And they all have really interesting stories. You know, we have a stowaway. We have a young woman who gets pregnant. We have people who are poor. We have people of other races. We have relationships with families, people in abusive families, people with parents who drink. Kind of the side of Alaska that's not romantic, that we know exists here as we know it exists everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's in Sitka as well as Fairbanks as well as Anchorage. So I think there's a great awareness that Bonnie Sue has about the people who live here and the things she's seen. You can see a little bit of her in all the characters, which I found really, really wonderful. And the other part of it that kind of drives me crazy while I'm reading, it makes me a super active reader, is I'm wondering what parts are from her story.
Oh, right. So you know Bonnie Sue because she used to live here and know a little bit of her own life story.
I know her really well. And when we get together, we get on like, you know, a house of fire. But we don't spend a ton of time. She's got like other people she's much closer to, and so do I. So I don't know. I just want to spend more time with her. And I've been texting her since I've been reading it. Mm. And that's a really amazing experience. I was like, Bonnie Sue, this book is so great. You know, and she'll text me back. You know, it's like, I'm so glad you like it. But what I'm really itching to ask is like, did this happen to you?
Right. Which character is you, or which story is
yours? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not the important part, but as someone who's curious about people, it's what I'm always itching to ask. And I think when you read it, you're going to be wondering the same thing. And I think a lot of her friends, same will have the same experience.
Right.
But she was so pleased. This book has been picked up for publication in Germany as well. But I had a really hard time finding a lot of reviews of this book. Hmm. So it makes me wonder if this book will get discovered. I think it should. I think it belongs with good Alaska. What other Alaska kids books do you know written by Alaskans?
Right. Yeah.
You know, Will Hobbs did it really well.
Right. Yeah.
But that's a mystery. The book one of the books, Leaving Protection, mm-hmm. I think is what it's called.
I was talking to someone else who said that oftentimes when they hear like a book is from Alaska, they kind of, I don't know, write it off. And my impression from talking to you a little bit about this book beforehand is that that's not the case at all with this book. That I think the person I was talking to was saying sometimes people get books published because they're from Alaska mm-hmm. and like that's their niche. But the impression I have is that this book is exceptionally well written. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's legit.
Right?
It's legit. And I think the word I run across a lot that I agree with is authentic.
Okay.
And it feels that way. And
I wonder.
Good job, Bonnie Sue.
Should we listen to? Is that what you have?
I have it queued up. Let's see if it works.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
So bring up I think you bring up computer.
Okay, I'm going to dim our mics. We'll try it,
okay.
And we might be back shortly.
Okay.
One moment.
Prologue. The way things were back then. Ruth, 1958-63. I can't stop remembering the way things were back then. How my father hunted for our food. How he'd hang the deer in the garage to cure, and how the deer's legs would splay out when its belly was sliced open, its hooves pointy like a ballerina's toes. I watched him dozens of times as he cut the meat off the animal's backside. I can still hear how the knife sounded when metal scraped bone. Backstrap was the best cut, my favorite, and Daddy sliced it off the deer's spine as beautifully as Mama curled ribbons on presents. He carried.
That's just a tiny taste of it, but it definitely starts right in place. You mm-hmm. catch Alaska right away.
Yeah, and I think it's like so many things changed in the 70s and 80s, and this is, you know, back before then. Back when, people had memories of what it used to be like. And so it goes straight from there but up to the 70s.
Okay.
And so it's kind of before anyone had TV and okay. that kind of thing, before anyone had cable.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's an intriguing opening, too, starting with butchering an animal. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty.
Right. And they talk about, like, the effect that becoming a state had and those kind of things. So it
right.
brings in some politics.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
So everyone should read this, whether it's as an audiobook or if you want to get a copy from the bookstore.
Yeah, it's a pretty short book. As you know, things take a lot longer to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely am looking forward to hearing or reading it myself.
Yeah, there's lots of copies floating around. I know they sold out of the bookstore at the reading, but I'm sure they've got more in.
I know you have some other things to talk about, but I wonder if we have a minute. We can just breeze right by it if you want to jump into your next book. But I was curious, you mentioned young adults novels, which we just listened to there, a bit of Bonnie Sue Hitchcock's book. And that reminds me that the Sitka High School Battle Team won state for Battle of the Books this
right.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you often read the battle books, don't you? And I don't know if you do it like a kind of your own personal battle with the team or...
I think it's just I was really interested in the book list when they were in junior high school. And I'm good friends with Lucy Polson, who was on the battle team. And so I'd see what she was reading. Oh, what's that about? And she's mm-hmm. like, it's really good. And so I think it was I ran into Bobby Jordan, who loves young adult fiction as well. And she was reading all the battle books. And I was like, oh, we should get a team together at Rotary because Rotary is all about literacy. I mean, that's one of our things. And we should take on the battle team, realizing, of course, well, and thinking of it as a training exercise for them,
right.
like to kind of motivate them. But, of course, we knew we weren't going to be as good because they're kids and these are really the smartest kids of the school.
Right.
And so we kind of, you know, we had certain rules that we followed that, you know, so we would read one or two of these books. Like you can't, an adult would not read the 15 books on the list.
That's how many
13.
It is. 15.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. I think it's around 12. So each of us would take two and do our best. And the retention, once again, a huge problem for me. I think I might have a record by missing the first question in all of the battles we've had with the kids. But we didn't do it against the high school team.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping to get back into it. The high school meet, it strikes me that it was a little early this year. Or I don't know. I was a little behind. And the kids didn't have, like, ringing endorsements for the book list either. But they're very excited about next year. So I was like,
so maybe you'll
I said, Lucy, when you get your list, give it to me, and we'll start dividing up the books. And
you, and you actually had a battle at Rotary? Is that how it happened?
We did. It was brutal. It was a bloodbath. Yeah, the first year was kind of awesome because we were really close, you know, with our handicapping. And then the next year we did not have Ms. Sagal. We had a substitute librarian, and she was rough on us. Like, she didn't understand that we weren't competitive.
Professionals.
Yes. That we sucked. Yes, basically. So, yeah, she made us follow the rules. She mocked us a few times. Yeah. And we got, yeah, we were, I think it was like we were missing some of the rules, and so we hadn't memorized the right thing.
Okay. So, well, anyway. So maybe later on.
So rematch is what we have to say. The first year, yes, we were tied. Okay. Like, we did pretty well the first year with our huge handicap.
But you'll do it again, and so we might have some Battle of the Books books to talk
about. Yes, we will. Okay. We will definitely have. I hear Boys in the Boat might be on the list,
excellent.
And that would be a good book for me to read again.
Okay. Yeah. What else have you been listening to lately?
The other things that, I mean, I read another young adult book. This has been out for a couple of years. It was given to me by a young person called Wonder. And it's very similar to these other books that I have on the list. Different narratives from different kids. Mm-hmm. And at the center of the story is a young boy who's extremely disfigured by birth. He's had a number of surgeries, but he's still really kind of horrible to look at. When you first meet him, it's just striking. And so who are going to be his friends? Why are they his friends? How do they see it? What's it like to be his sister? What's it like to be his sister's boyfriend? So these are all, like, once again, very unique points of view, very unique characters that the author has created. And I don't know if that's a trend, because three of the books on my list are all like that.
Where they have multiple narrators.
Yes, different characters told in the first person.
Yeah.
And Wonder is just really great in terms of how people relate to each other, because you have a lot of things going on in people's minds, and you can hear it in each of the narrators. But it's one misunderstanding after another. Mm. And it's just kind of the need to be honest with people and to be upfront with people. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very, very sweet book.
Oh, it sounds
wonderful. I really loved it.
Yeah. I like books that seem to reflect real life.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't know if there's any experience like this for mm-hmm. anyone, but I think the part that's real is just how people blow up situations in their mind. And,
right.
And 90% of the people are good, and the 10% who aren't have other problems.
Right. Yeah.
You know, absentee parents and, you know, just abusive parents, rough home life.
Right.
Too much money and a lot of expectations.
Do you have the author on that one, or we can look it up later?
I do have the author.
All right.
I'm so glad you asked.
I'd love to.
Palacio or Palacio.
Okay.
Palacio, probably. Okay. P-L-A-C-I-O.
All right.
And the name of the book is Wonder. And it's an interesting book cover. It's got a kid with just eyes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But cool. That's not really what he looks like.
We'll get this stuff up on the website, too, so people can refer back to what you're talking about and find these books for themselves. And this is one that you found through Overdrive, like for your device, or did you get a CD?
This one I got at the library. Okay. It just popped out. Okay. And it's a book someone gave me, and then I hadn't read it, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll listen to it on audio.
Cool.
And, you know, it was done in 2 days.
Right.
Yeah, loved it. The other book I picked up on the Overdrive app was a book called The Marriage Plot, and that's a book I actually sought out. Jeffrey Eugenides, who wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning Middlesex. I haven't read anything else by him, but a friend of mine said, you will love this book, because it's kind of a play on, it's the modern marriage plot. The old marriage plot is from the Victorian novel. And back then...
Yeah, tell us that marriage plot.
The marriage plot is, like, you know, who you married, how you married. It was almost like a career, and
right.
That went for men as well as women. And so it wasn't light fare. It was important. And so this is a modern-day enthusiast, Jane Austen enthusiast, George Eliot enthusiast, and kind of her marriage plot, like what's going to happen to her. And it's not simple. And it probably wasn't simple back then. But it's kind of, you have a lot of other options. You're not just like, oh, who am I going to marry? When am I going to marry? How much money does he have? What's his career? That's just part of your life. It's not the
central.
It's the center of her life for a while. But the fun things about it is, the fun thing about this book, I think, are the great characters. And one of them is a manic depressive. And, you know, there's a, excuse me, I'm not like getting upset. I just have something in my throat. I have a family history with manic depression, and it brought everything back for me. And I think the work he did with that character was really, really good.
He captured it well.
Captured it well, and I found that character to be the most sympathetic, the challenges that people with mental illnesses have. So in addition to like his overarching theme of like, what is the modern marriage plot? And also just a ton of stuff about Jane Austen and George Eliot, and talking about the characters like you knew them, like you're supposed to understand who all these characters are, mm-hmm. and you get it right away. I think it's really good.
So is this also one where there are multiple characters?
It's all third person.
Okay.
But yeah, there are three equally important characters. The central character is Madeline. Oh, and the other thing is, it takes place during college, like almost when I was in college, like a few years before. And it takes place at Brown University, and everything's very specific. I don't like it when authors get cute and they're like making up names for halls and buildings. And this is like, you could do a tour of Providence, Rhode Island, and you'd know where all this stuff is, like
cool.
The restaurants, the bars, the
it's
apartment
a real
buildings.
Place. Mm-hmm. He described the real place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And these are all people with varying amounts of money, and, you know, and that's what you'd see at Brown University if you went there. And that's what I saw at my school too. So I related to a lot of that. So that was the extra bonus. And I was really glad my friend recommended. I thought it was a hot new novel, but it's not. It's 5 years old. So
it's okay. But sort of recent.
But if you, he's a really good writer, Jeffrey Eugenides, and he's a very funny writer. It's not all funny, but,
I can
a
see
lot
why
of it is.
This was recommended to you too. Now I'm understanding, because of the Jane Austen and George
definitely
Eliot.
Yes, yeah, yes, this person read it, and it's his favorite book right now.
Okay.
So it's a guy who doesn't read Jane Austen. He's just
so you can get into it even if you don't necessarily like
he
Jane
definitely
Austen
or, did yeah
yeah. I love that author, and I think he does a wonderful job. I read Middlesex and The Virgin Suicides, which came out before that, yeah, and he does a wonderful job of capturing characters. Like, you just, they fully become alive. And so it makes sense to me that he captured, like, the manic depressive, that it became a real experience. You know, you could relate to it. It was accurately captured. That's
yeah.
what he did with what I've read of him.
They all did. They weren't all equally sympathetic, but mm-hmm. they all, you know, I just wanted to keep reading.
Yeah. Whoa, we only have about 2 minutes left.
Oh, brother.
Sorry, I was checking the clock there. So let's
anyway, that's on Overdrive. You
okay.
can everyone can get it. Sometimes you have to get into a line, but there's no line for Marriage Plot.
It's old enough now.
The whole Jane Austen collection. I've listened to two of these so far down at the library on CD. I would recommend All the Light We Cannot See is beautifully read. Mm. And if you've had trouble diving into Pulitzer Prize winning books before, take the plunge. This
that's
is a
one.
Really good story. It's got a couple different stories going on at the same time during World War II, and a little bit of a caper, as well as just kind of pretty tough subjects and people in difficult times. So mm-hmm. it's a tough book, but it's very well written and a really good listen. I'm listening to a book by Michael Lewis called Coach, and I'm really into that author. He writes all nonfiction. This is about the role of coaches in young people's lives, how they pick up where the parents leave off. Mm-hmm. And right now the current trend is parents are not letting that happen. So anyway, I'm about 50 pages into the book, but it's very good. And Michael Lewis reads it, and that's an Overdrive book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the author reads it. I think that's always can be tricky when the author reads it. I mean, I guess any reader needs to be a good reader, but the author can sometimes kill their own book.
They certainly can, but with nonfiction, I'm not as picky.
Okay. And what else is on your list?
The other, besides all the Jane Austen books, you know, I can list the five of them down at the library. After I'm done with Coach, I'm going to read Flash Boys, because I just saw The Big Short, and it's an amazing story. It's an amazingly scary story,
right.
And it's one that kind of makes you want to show up to the next Bernie Sanders rally.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, you've been listening to the library show here on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. It's been my great pleasure to be speaking with Shannon Hoagland, and stay tuned for the rest of this morning's programming. Good morning.